really get their heads around numbers, like six-figure, seven-figure, eight, nine-figure numbers. I don't think we do, unless you play the lottery. And in fact, it'd probably have to be Euro Millions to move into that kind of territory. Is there a point at which it sort of slips out of reach? We all know what a tenner's worth. We can get our heads around the idea of a grand, 100 grand, even perhaps a million. £122.7 million is the fine that Thames Water have just received for various rule breaches. And I suspect, like you, I still don't understand how these companies have got away with what they've got away with. But I hope to by 11 o'clock today.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 10 o'clock, the head of the Metropolitan Police has told LBC that planned prison reforms could cost forces hundreds of millions of pounds. Some criminals could be freed a third of their way through their jail terms as part of the sentencing plans in England and Wales. Sir Mark Rowley says some of those offenders will go on to commit more crime. He's made a direct appeal to the Chancellor for more money.
We've got good research which shows safe communities is where people invest. And for every pound you spend on policing, you'll get £4 back in GDP. So we can help the government's growth agenda as well by creating safe communities.
The Home Office says it's giving the police an additional £1.2 billion in funding this year. The parents of a baby boy who died aged 15 weeks have told LBC they believe the mould in their home contributed to his death. Akram had been living in a London flat deemed uninhabitable by an independent survey. An inquest will take place in August. Savas Panas from the Pillion Trust, which helps disadvantaged people, had raised concerns about the state of the flat.
Everything that I could get, we forwarded on to say, we're not playing a game. This is dangerous. This is serious. Please, please, please prioritise this family.
Notting Hill Genesis, which managed the property, says it's deeply saddened by the tragic loss of Akram. It says it's working with the relevant authorities as they conduct investigations, and it would be inappropriate to comment further ahead of the inquest. The Home Office has insisted it has no intention of reclassifying cannabis. It follows Sir Sadiq Khan's backing of a review that says possession of small quantities should be decriminalised. London's mayor says it shows a compelling evidence-based case to change the rules. Tens of thousands of people are set to receive payouts of up to £1,000 over the forced fitting of prepayment meters. Energy companies have set aside more than £70 million in compensation and financial support. It follows a review by Ofgem of the way suppliers switched some vulnerable customers to new tariffs. Thames Water has been fined more than £120 million in the largest penalty ever imposed by the regulator Ofwat. About £105 million relates to wastewater regulations. The rest is for breaking the rules around dividend payments made to shareholders. In the city, the FTSE 100 a short time ago was trading at 87.95. That's up 17. The pound buys $1.35 and a euro 19. LBC weather, most places seeing sunny spells and showers, feeling quite warm in the sunshine. A high of 22 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Thomas Watts.
Club card accepted.
Feel the power to lower prices with Tesco Club Card. Get a 10-pack of McVitie's Jaffa Cake Original, now £1, down from £1.50. Celebrating 30 years of rewards with Tesco Club Card. Tesco, every little helps. Majority of larger stores, Jaffa Cakes ends 24th of June. Club Card are up required.
This is LBC from Global. Leading Britain's conversation with James O'Brien.
It is 3 minutes after 10 and you are listening to James O'Brien on LBC. Paul's been in touch early. Dear James, he writes, I know you don't take requests, but can we have an hour on the cannabis subject, but restrict callers to the best recipes created after getting the munchies? Paul, that's an outrageous suggestion and a complete failure to take the subject matter seriously. We will perhaps be moving back towards that territory a little later in the programme. But I want to begin with a strange one. Strange in the sense of it not being an immediately obvious question for me to ask you. The simple story, as you've just heard in Thomas's news bulletin, is that Thames Water has been fined £122.7 million for breaching of rules. It is the biggest ever penalty issued by the water regulator Ofwat. They say that the fines follow its biggest and most complex investigation. And they insist, although how they prove or ensure this, I don't know, that the fines will be paid by the company and its investors, not by, if you happen to be listening even in the Thames Water area, not by you and me, not by its customers. £104.5 million for breaches of rules connected to its sewage operations, and just shy of £20 million for breaches relating to shareholder payouts, in other words, dividends. Do you do this? I read something the other day and I can't remember where. The worst thing you can do, I've said this to you before, is have the radio as your alarm in the morning, particularly if it's not a work day, and you're sort of zoning in and out of sleep. You're semi-awake. And you hear something, and then a week later you're talking to your producer about topics, and you've just got this very vague, amorphous notion of a story that you think you might have heard. Turns out you dreamt the whole thing. You imagined the whole thing. But I read something the other day, or heard something the other day, that I kind of couldn't quite believe. And I do this for a living, as you know. It's my job to be across some, at least, of the detail. I don't think anyone's ever going to be across all of it. And it was the tale of a company that bought Thames Water about 20 years ago. And during their period of ownership, you might want to sit down for this. Do you ever feel obscenely naive? I'm tempted to ask you, in fact, I probably will ask you in the next 10 minutes, whether or not this kind of scandal, whether or not what has happened to our water companies is a feature or a glitch. But do you ever feel scandalously naive? You just think, yeah, well, of course. I do it a bit with the PPE. There's more news in that realm at the moment as well. Some extraordinary revelations coming out about companies that were stuck on the VIP lane and gifted incredibly lucrative contracts without having any interest or backstory or history in that sector at all. Their only qualification for these incredibly plum contracts was knowledge of or acquaintance with senior Tory politicians. In fact, that should be on my to-do list. We should have a little dig into that on today's show, because some of the stuff that's coming out is unbelievable. There's a television programme on tonight about one of the key exemplars of that scandal, Michelle Moan, who I think is still technically a baroness. Someone should make a list of all the people stuck in the House of Lords by the Tories in recent years who've turned out to be either receiving rewards for epic wrongness or, technically, I suppose, epic wrong-uns. But I digress, because this is the story, and I checked it this morning, and it turns out that I didn't dream it. So there is an investment bank that bought a water company. Right, there you go, there it is. My alarm's gone off. Is it yours? An investment bank bought a water company. Why would an investment bank want to buy a water company? Because they're dedicated to the safe delivery of clean, fresh water to the people of these islands? Or is it just because they have profound environmental concerns and believe that protecting the safety of our watercourses and the treatment of our sewage is a bigger priority than anything else that we're currently... Who would you want to own a water company? Anyway, it's an investment bank. 16 million customers in London and the southeast of England. So I don't know how naive you think this makes me sound. So they bought it in 2006 when its debts stood at £3.4 billion, right? £3.4 billion. It's quite a lot of debt, but I guess that's how business works. £3.4 billion. They sold it in 2017 and debt stood at £10.8 billion. Okay? So the debt has gone up from £3.4 billion to £10.8 billion. And then you get the news, if it counts as news, that the investment bank, which is called Macquarie, and other investors received dividends worth, how much do you reckon? £2.8 billion. Now, I am not thick. I have many, many failings, many flaws. But I'm not thick. If I stare at something for long enough, I can generally get my head around it. I'm not brilliant with numbers, but this isn't a mathematical conundrum. This isn't a numerical riddle. I'm not brilliant with numbers, necessarily. Well, that, again, I'm better with words than I am with numbers, but I'm still pretty good generally speaking, the great scheme of things, I'd be in the upper percentiles when it comes, because I had a very good education. I'm not claiming any special gift. I had a very good education. A lot of it very expensive. And the final bit, the London School of Economics. So I'm blessed. Educational privilege, if that's a thing. Of course it's a thing. It's why Donald Trump is trying to shut down universities or keep foreign students out of the country entirely if they hold opinions he doesn't like. Do you remember when anti-woke people couldn't tell you what woke meant? But the idea, of course, of being banned from going to university because of your opinions would perhaps have been on their list. They just couldn't come up with many examples of it actually happening. And now their hero is making it government policy. We'll be talking about that with Simon Marks at 11:45 today. So, I am not thick. I'm going to keep saying that until you believe it. I am not thick. And I'm not hugely naive. I've been doing this job now for over 20 years. We have covered everything from the MP's expenses scandal right through to the PPE VIP lanes, the catastrophe of COVID, the epic con of Brexit. You know, I think you'd agree that together, when we put our heads together, we're pretty good, aren't we? We're pretty good at ironing out the wrinkles, at working out what's true and what isn't. We've been fairly good chroniclers of fake news and misinformation, calling out reality, even as more and more people seem dedicated to the opposite. So we're not thick, and we're not ill-informed. We're not slow on the uptake, and we're not unduly naive. We understand how the world works. And yet there's something about this story that just leaves me absolutely dumbstruck. If I bought something that had a lot of debt and I ran it, in inverted commas, for a decade, let's say, and then I sold it with a lot more debt, and somehow found, oops-a-daisy, look what I've got in my pocket, billions of pounds. So the debt, I mean, I don't need to explain the numbers to you again. I just want you to explain the story to me, to anybody. Imagine that you were in a coma. This is a device we used to use quite a lot on the programme, and it's a good device, actually. We should probably use it again. Well, we're about to. Imagine you were in a coma in 2006 when this company bought Thames Water. They don't own it anymore. They sold it in 2017. I mean, all sorts of debt packages going on. You fell asleep in 2006 when this company had debts of 3.4 billion. You woke up in 2017 when it had debts of 10.8 billion. And you found out that the people who'd owned it in the interim walked away with just shy of £3 billion. And this is a water company. This is a monopoly. This is a company that exists solely to ensure that our sewage gets treated and our taps work. Maybe there's a couple of other things on the list as well, but those are your central... You're running a water company, those are your central things. But they don't, do they? They seem to exist, and this is where I wonder that I might be terminally naive. They seem to exist exclusively to enrich people lucky enough to have bought into a company that has absolutely zero risk and no competitors. So am I going mad, or is this something that we should actually be taking to the streets about, something that's actually happened, something that actually exists? And how are we going to do it as a phone-in? Guys, it's your turn. I do it every day. I come up with the questions every day. How would you do this one? 84850. Drop me a quick text. If it's any good, I'll do it. Be my starter at 10. 0345 6060973 on the old WhatsApp. I can't sit here waiting for you to get your finger out and finally do some work instead of leaving me to do the heavy lifting every morning. But in the absence of any effort from you, what happened to our water companies? At risk of sounding a little bit like Michael Gove, I don't generally like armchair experts. But actually, in this field, in this area, I think any understanding, if you've worked in the industry, 0345 6060973, if you've just riddled, if you've gnawed at this bone, if you've worried at this problem for longer than I have, 0345 6060973, how does this happen? Because you can sit here now in 2025 And I mean, you insert your own words here. You can be scunnered. You can be gobsmacked. You can be absolutely incredulous about the actual unfolding reality. Labour were in power in 2006. So a couple of texts coming in are already unhelpful because it is not the case that this is a direct consequence of Tory shenanigans. Long before that, the Tories actually privatised the water companies. Yes, but Labour, until relatively recently, haven't done anything to try to reverse it. I want you to do something that I suspect you'll find very easy. I want you to imagine that I am stupid. Okay? I want you to imagine that I am very stupid. Not unpleasantly stupid, not mean and nasty stupid, but just a little bit slow, a little bit Benny from Crossroads, a little bit slow on the uptake. I want you to explain to me how this happened, not just to this water company, but essentially to all of them. How have we sat here in this country, in my case, for the best part of 50 years? How have we sat here and watched individuals and institutions line their pockets on an industrial scale while presiding over epic mismanagement of national essentials, of essential utilities? It's my job really sometimes to convey to you the scale of a scandal that for some reason hasn't quite... It's as if, you know those things in the fairground where you take the big hammer and you smack the thing at the bottom and the little weight goes flying up the thing and hits the bell at the ding-ding at the top and then you win a prize. I sometimes feel that on some subjects I am smashing that hammer as hard as I humanly can into the base of the machine and it's only going up about an inch and a half. I go whack, boo, whack, 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 boo. When really it should be going, I should just have to drop the hammer quite lightly and it goes ding, 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 ding. The whole nation should be up in uproar about this. Water, for God's sake. It's water. It's not widgets. It's not like computer programs or something. It's not AI or something that you need or you don't need. Absolutely extraordinary to think that we've all sat here for decades while individuals and institutions, since, let's say, the 1980s, have waltzed in to... I need bigger words. Do you know what I mean? I need bigger words. I say, oh, institutions, utilities, individuals. I need bigger words. How do you describe something as absolutely intrinsic and essential as water? What else is there? Air? They'd privatise that if they could, wouldn't they? They would. I'm not even joking. If Margaret Thatcher could have privatised air, she flipping would have done. And some massive investment bank would have come in, run the air supply into our lungs, taken over a company with no debt at all, sold the company with £10 billion of debt, and mysteriously ended up with £3 billion in their back pocket. I'm not even exaggerating. So there are two things going on here. There are two mysteries. And the second one might turn out to be more interesting than the first one. I mean, certainly the second one is a question at which we can all have a crack. We can all have a go at answering the second one. Why do we let them get away with it? Or how do they get away with it? So how did it happen? 0345 60 60 973. Come on. I mean it. Just give me your best thoughts, your best ideas, your insights. How did it happen? And technically, materially, substantively, how did it happen that something as intrinsic to our very existence as water can be treated as a cash cow to be mercilessly milked by people whose names we don't even know, but who have enriched themselves on a scale that even Croesus would envy? 03456060973. But the second question is, how did we let them? I use the we very loosely. What does we mean? In the context of sewage, there's not much mystery about that. But in the context of the question that I'm asking you, the media, is it our fault? Is it my fault? The political establishment, did they want this to happen? When they started talking about privatising water companies, did this actually become intended? Is this what they wanted? Extraordinary to reflect that we've all sat here getting angry about all sorts of things, everything from, I don't know, immigration to low traffic neighbourhoods. I've got a missed information for you on that subject a little later in the programme. All being very carefully encouraged by all the usual outlets to get angry about this, angry about that. Why did no one ever, apart from Fergal Flipping Sharkey, who I love, apart from Fergal, who has been telling, why have we been essentially impotent, silent, useless in the resistance of this epic scandal? How would you describe it? Fundamental's a good word, thank you. Yes, something as fundamental, that's from Aaron, as fundamental to our existence can get turned into a cash cow by cronies and investment bankers. So, two questions, essentially. How did it happen, technically? How did it actually work without anyone getting thrown in jail? 0345 6060 973. And then the second question, which has only emerged in the course of these pontifications, but in terms of the alarms not going off, us not really noticing, whose fault is it that you and I didn't realise this was happening when it was actually happening? Hit the numbers now, you will get through. 0345 6060 973. It's 20 past 10.
LBC. For simple, fuss-free pet insurance policies for cats and dogs, visit petsinapickle.co.uk. For actual pickles, try the supermarket.
A Southern train is a place where you can just switch off. Where you have the chance to scroll your feeds as you roll past fields. Or simply relax with a podcast, playlist or power nap. Go with your flow and save with advance tickets from only £7 at southernrailway.com. Terms apply.
At ulisprosperity.com, you buy the car and we pay you up to £600 per month in rental income. For conditions, visit ulisprosperity.com.
The McSpicy Frank's Red Hot is back. It's the McSpicy, but hotter. With 100% chicken breast fillet, melty cheese, fiery jalapenos and that irresistible Frank's Red Hot mayo. Danger, danger. Make it hot. Available until the 17th of June. Serve from 11 a.m. Participating restaurants only. Subject to availability.
The British Red Cross is here to welcome people fleeing the conflict in Ukraine.
We're here to help people to safety when storms hit.
We're here to show anyone struggling that someone cares.
Hiya, that's a huge help.
We're here for humanity. With your support, the Red Cross has helped millions of people in the UK and 190 other countries. Search British Red Cross to support us. Together, we are the world's emergency responders.
James O'Brien on LBC. Call 0345 6060 973.
22 minutes after 10, and I mean, typically, not many have taken up my invitation to do my job. As you point out, I'm doing a bit of a Thames water. I'll take home the big bucks. So you do the work of actually coming up with a question. But this is quite nice from Beatrice. What or who took away your anger and motivation to change this and hold water companies to account? Why are you getting mugged? Not only by events, but also by information. And, in my defence, I've been pretty good at this. I was talking to Fergal Sharkey about these matters before it was cool, before everybody was queuing up to send him to some little river in the middle of nowhere and start measuring the amount of sewage in it. I was on it, but I haven't got... What's the story you've got angriest about in recent years, where you've demanded change? When have the public ever done anything? And yet this just feels truly egregious. Stephen's in Hampstead. Stephen, what made you pick up the phone?
Hello. Hi. I'm really responding to your first question as to what's going on, underlying all of this. I'm a retired chartered accountant who spent much of his life in corporate finance.
Okay.
And one of the things that I noticed was that lots and lots and lots and lots of businesses in Britain, more than many other countries in Europe, are acquired by private equity.
Yes.
And since the days of Margaret Thatcher, it's been possible for businesses to be acquired, but for their assets to be used to finance the purchase. So as a result, in Britain, you have got countless businesses which have gone through purchase, sale, and on each occasion, the buyers load the business with debt, which is financing the purchase and has got nothing to do with the business. Now, there are a few businesses which don't fall into this category. Take Marks and Spencers. They reinvest in their own business. They've got reserves, and they can weather difficult storms, even when their profits go down. They're much less vulnerable. But many, many businesses, in fact, most businesses in Britain, have gone through this purchase resale exercise, and they're loaded with debts. Now, if we're talking about sort of ladies' wear companies, it probably doesn't matter too much. But when you talk about water companies...
Yes, exactly that. This is the crucial distinction for me this morning, Stephen.
Yes, I know. And that's the real problem. What's happened is that this standard methodology in corporate finance has been applied to an essential monopolistic utility, a public utility.
Was it not intended to? I mean, are the people responsible for this sort of looking back shamefacedly and shocked or not?
Well, I don't think so, because it's actually being used widely, and I think in some senses there's a bit of a cover-up, because it's part of a very widespread issue in Britain, where many British companies are over-geared, have got too much borrowing, and have gone through this purchase sale. In Britain, you basically build your business to sell it, and when you sell it, the people who buy it use your own assets to finance the purchase. So it's a widespread practice. Problem is that, you know, it's in everybody's interests to keep quiet about this, because it has a very fundamental foundation in the whole British economy. The problem is, it's bad enough, in my view, generally, because it means that our businesses are undercapitalised. Pardon me. But in the case of a public utility like water, it's catastrophic, because they can't invest in their water mains. They can't invest in all the procedures needed to make sure that our water is clean, because they've gone through this corporate finance methodology and they're loaded with debt. Now, if they're a football club, it's not the end of the world.
Well, you choose a football club not by coincidence. As an example, I think you're talking about Manchester United.
Well, I've not looked at their accounts, but it seems to be much the same thing. They're loaded with debt. Why?
Well, when the Glazers took over. I heard that explained in similar terms when the Glazers took over. So, I mean, this is where I feel horribly naive at this point in the conversation, because A, there'll be an awful lot of people listening, whether they realise it or not, who, if they were offered the opportunity to avail themselves of a piece of the action that you described, they would fill their boots. I mean, who wouldn't? If someone offered you a money tap and you were allowed to turn it on without any thoughts for the consequences, all you were going to do is count the amount of money that came out of it, then you would do it. It is naive to pretend otherwise. But what you expect... Really? Sorry, go on.
It's a win-win situation. You can't lose.
From that point, especially with water, because there's no flipping risk and there's no competition. So it is literally a license to print money. But what I don't understand is why we have, quotes, put up with it, end quotes. Why this has unfolded over decades. You know, if it was a six-month smash and grab and then the alarms went off and the metaphorical cops turned up and these people got carted off to jail with their... handcuffs on, I'd get it. But this has gone on under successive governments for decades.
Yeah. Well, I suppose I'm trying to grapple with it. Why, looking into the minds of the regulators and the government, I suppose it makes denationalisation very much easier, because it doesn't actually cost you anything, it costs the buyers anything. They can buy businesses without taking any risk. So it's a great way of getting public utilities off the public list and get them denationalised and privatised. So it's a great mechanism. It just has no regard to the long-term prospects.
But if they were nationalised, then the profits that they make would go back into the company, or they'd go to the Treasury to be used better. So there's literally no defence of this practice. And I fully accept, I'm not a communist, I fully accept that in the private sector, when you're selling things like football tickets or miniskirts, and this is going to be largely unstoppable. But there should be just different rules, shouldn't there, for things that are fundamentals, for essentials,
no
for monopolies,
question.
For utilities. There's stuff on the blooming monopoly board. That's how deep you can go into our national psyche. Just the stuff the electrics company and the utility, the water company on the monopoly board.
course. Well, I remember when all this privatisation was taking place, I joked that eventually they'll be charging us for actually breathing. We'll have to pay for oxygen cylinders on our back. It's gone to such extremes that it's ridiculous. It went to ridiculous extremes with the rail companies.
Yes, exactly.
Where it was broken up and fragmented, so it won't function sensibly. And it went to ridiculous lengths in the public utility, which is water. It's an essential, like breathing. So you load it with debt, allow corporate finance procedures to be implemented, whereby it's totally indebted, can't invest. It's nuts. So it, why it was done gets me into the realms of politics. And,
yes. Nothing wrong with that. But you've already provided some answers. Briefly, this is brilliant, by the way, Stephen. Thank you. A lot of people listening, very grateful to you. But in terms of the pub, what would you point at? And this, I'm leading you out of your area of expertise now and into the realms of speculation. But what would you point at as the reason why the public haven't responded, reacted in the way that they would be expected to under your reading of what's actually been done to them and their water?
Because they don't understand. I just think it's covered by layers of obfuscation, whatever the word is,
yes.
And they don't see it. They don't understand it. All they do understand is what comes through in their water bills. I think they're probably beginning to react now because the water bills are going through the roof. They're sort of increasing by something like 30%, and they're very obviously having to pay the price.
And people are walking around with billions of pounds of dividends in their pockets from the companies that are putting up their prices. But don't worry, everyone can relax. Thames Water are adamant that this latest fine will be paid by them and not by their customers. How does that even work?
I think chickens are coming home to roost now because somebody is going to have to pay for all of this. And the people who are going to have to pay for all of this, as things stand, are the consumer customers.
Who've already been robbed, who've been rinsed, if you want to use a slightly more water-related term. I've got to crack on, Stephen, only because the news is already a little late. That was a perfect start. It's given us the mechanics of it, but it makes the other question even bigger, doesn't it? Is how does this happen in terms of the relationship between the public and the facts? Thomas Watts is here now with your headlines.
The Metropolitan Police Commissioner has told LBC that the government's been silent on the effect of prison reforms on policing. Sir Mark Rowley has warned plans to release more inmates early will lead to more crime. The parents of a boy who died aged 15 weeks have told LBC they believe the mould in their home contributed to his death. Akram had been living in a London flat deemed uninhabitable by an independent survey. Notting Hill Genesis, which managed the property, says it's working with relevant authorities ahead of his inquest in August. Thames Water has been fined £120 million for breaching rules on wastewater and shareholder dividends. It's the largest ever penalty issued by the water regulator Ofwat. LBC weather, sunny spells and showers for most places. Feeling quite warm in the sunshine, a high of 22 degrees.
This is LBC.
Hillary's mid-season sale just got even better. Get up to 40% off hundreds of made-to-measure styles. Plus, get an extra 10% off absolutely everything. That's 10% off all blinds, curtains and shutters. And an extra 10% off our new range of awnings and pergolas, with measuring and fitting always included. Book your free in-home appointment today. Visit hillarys.co.uk. Hurry, Hillary's extra 10% off everything must end 2nd of June. Conditions apply.
I've had a few. Jimmy was my first. He was gorgeous and gave me so much space. Then there was Lorenzo. He was exciting, but also reliable. Elvis is my latest. I love him the most. He makes me feel so warm with his heated seats and steering wheel. It might sound strange to love a car and name them, but it's not just me. Almost every Honda Jazz owner stays with the Jazz and buys another. True love starts with a test drive. Honda, the power of dreams.
The Red Cross is here to deliver essentials to people who have lost everything in Ukraine.
We are here to support families enduring the food crisis in Somalia.
We're here to shelter earthquake survivors in Turkey and Syria.
We're here for humanity. With your support, the Red Cross has helped millions of people in the UK and 190 other countries. Search British Red Cross to support us. Together, We are the world's emergency responders.
Getting ready for summer? It's time to scrub the barbecue, mow the lawn, and dust off the wine glasses. At Waitrose, we're getting ready with 25% off six or more bottles of wine or fizz over £6. Like a fruity San Leo Prosecco, perfect with aged Parma ham. Or a crisp Whispering Angel Rosé, ideal for your first barbecue. And our number one Chablis, the aromas of fresh peach pair beautifully with a seafood salad. Start the summer with some great savings at Waitrose. Selected stores and lines, subject to availability. Excludes Scotland, boxed wines and bottles priced £100 and over.
This is LBC. Message James O'Brien on WhatsApp now on 0345 60 60 973.
10:34. Dermot is in Dublin and tells me that the Irish people fought the privatisation of water in Ireland a decade ago. Watching what's unfolding in the UK validates our resistance. Just hold that thought, because it's not the UK, mate. And there's no reason why you should know this. I haven't mentioned it until 10:34. It's England and Wales, probably Northern Ireland. Scotland's different. This is another example of why I needed a kind of two phone line side street, like a different lane coming in for people in Scotland to tell me about how they've managed to end up in such a different situation from the rest of the United Kingdom. These people, Dermot continues, are vandals in suits, James, and the devastation they've left behind should be a national scandal. It kind of is a national scandal, but, and I know this is a bit of a pet subject for me, I don't understand why. You know when you look at a machine and it's got cogs turning, and if that cog isn't biting into that cog, if the teeth of that cog aren't properly fitting that one, oddly enough, it's a game on the Indiana Jones video game that I keep telling you about. What you've got to work out how the cogs fit to get some secret doors to open, and you can put different size cogs in lots of different places, but you've got to get them in place so that everything turns around and it pulls up the secret door in the Mexican tombs, if you're interested. But the point is that you can flick the switch if you've got the cogs in the wrong place. I'm confident that this is a good analogy, okay? So bear with me. You can flick the switch if you've got the cogs in the wrong place, and some of them start turning, but the one that's actually powered might turn some, but some aren't properly placed, so they won't turn around. I feel a bit like that on this story. It doesn't happen very often, but it's as if this cog is turning, and the public reaction cog, or the response you might expect, the response I'm getting in my inbox, which is not reflective of the reality of this country, or England and Wales at least, it's not biting. The cog's not turning. So here's the cog spinning. This cog here is water companies robbing us blind, okay? While providing appalling service and releasing shocking amounts of sewage into our waterways. So this cog's turning. And this is the cog of how the public should respond. So as soon as that cog turns, the public cog starts turning. Everyone goes nuts, right? This is working. This is a brilliant analogy. I'm going to use this more often. We need more cogs. We need more cogs on this programme. You can watch it on YouTube if you want to understand this with me twirling my fingers around. It might help a little bit. So this cog here is what the water companies are doing. And that's happening. That's turning constantly. This cog here is how the public would react if those two cogs were biting. The public cog would be going like, I'd be going absolutely bonkers. But they're not biting. So this one's spinning around, robbing us blind, robbing us blind, robbing us blind, pumping shocking amounts of sewage into the water ways, and this is the public here, it's not moving at all. Why not? Why not? There are tiny exceptions. Here's a little cog called Fergal. That's spinning away furiously. But that cog, the little cog called Fergal, isn't properly attached to the public cog either. It's probably moving the public cog a little bit more than it was moving previously, but the public cog isn't spinning around at anything like the rate it should be. And that's the end of my TED talk on the subject of cognition. So why? Get it? Yeah? Cognition? Why? Why? And how? Liz is in Winsford. Liz, what would you like to say?
I think I want to answer that question about how I think this has happened. How I think it might happen again. And it's through that kind of ideology that we see playing out when people talk about healthcare, which is another essential service. Obviously something that I'm particularly interested in because I'm an A&E doctor.
Oh, okay.
But what we see is the idea that this is a very expensive service that we have to fund. Lots of money has to go into it. People understand that they pay taxes, and taxes goes into essential services. If we don't have to pay for that essential service anymore, then our taxes should in theory go down. It doesn't make much sense when you follow through that you still eventually have to pay for the service. So you will end up paying the same amount anyway. But then you throw in also the type of ideology that comes along with capitalism and meritocracy, and that we hear coming out of reform, that people who run private companies and entrepreneurs are the cleverest of us, and they can obviously deliver these services for much cheaper than you would expect people who work in the public sector to be able to do it. And that, I think, is how we end up where we are.
And sometimes it must be true. Or must it? Maybe that's me being gaslit.
I don't think it has to be true at all. So, I don't think that there is anything inherently better about working for a private company. I don't think you suddenly gain an extra 10 IQ points by working for a private company.
No, I didn't mean that. Nor do I. But I meant more that if, for example, I'm working in the public sector, I am not as responsible for my mistakes as I would be in the private sector. Do you see what I mean? I can just about conjure up. I mean, the classic example would be British Railways, although that I think is another example of something that was carefully manipulated to persuade the public that it shouldn't remain state-owned. But British Leyland perhaps is an even better example. The pressure on a public sector operation is very different from the pressure on a private sector operation, because theoretically, Liz, a private sector operation can fail and a public sector operation can't. That's why the water company, or indeed the NHS, would become so egregious. Because,
but you're only looking at it through that prism of my job and accountability for myself and my job in that scenario. I think the public sector, when you work in the public sector, has the same accountability but from a different prism. You are held to very high standards. So let's take maternity services in the NHS.
Yes.
Currently under a huge amount of strain, there's a lot of justified highlight on maternity services and how they are struggling and failing. Countries that have private healthcare also have severe issues with women's healthcare and maternity services and maternal deaths. In the UK, we've had 3 public inquiries, and we are pushing for change. It's very high profile at the moment. I sincerely hope that this will push forward change. And that's happening through the public sector. There is a different kind of light that is shone on the public sector, and there is accountability. If you look at what happened with the post office, it was through kind of public work that came to light and the scandal was highlighted, even though what happened essentially happened because of the private sector. It wasn't the private sector that brought people to account. It was the public that brought people to account.
Public space and some excellent journalism, which possibly is part of the answer to the other question about how they've managed to get away with it. I wonder whether, if we were to be boiling it down to bare essentials, I wonder whether there's an ideological difference between people who cannot see the point of something that doesn't deliver a profit and people who recognise, particularly when they're talking to A&E doctors called Liz, people who recognise that some things can't be judged according to how much profit they do or don't deliver. And for me, water would be in the second category.
Absolutely. It is at the bedrock of what, I mean, healthcare, water, education, these things. I mean, rail as well. I mean, I suppose it's the thing that's most likely now to be renationalized.
Yes, but it's already happening.
Those 4 things, I would say, is the least important. It's the least essential service of those 4.
Yeah.
But it's probably also the least expensive because it's the least essential.
It's a question of ring fencing. There is no ring fence of services that should be immune from the prioritization of profit. And if you had to come up with a single kind of diktat that explains what's happened to water companies, is that they were treated like people producing luxury goods. They were, you know, the people who owned the water companies were free to rinse them, to empty them of money and not worry at all about reinvestment, which if you're flogging handbags is fine. You'll go bust or you'll start another handbag factory somewhere. But if you're in the business of servicing 16 million people's water-related needs, it's a crime of unbelievable proportions that they were allowed to get away with this. And you worry, which, in case people are just tuning in, you worry that the NHS is on a similar path. So you're like shouting back a warning from the future that if you don't want the NHS to end up like the water companies, pay attention to what's happened to the water companies.
Absolutely. I'm totally incensed. And on your point earlier about why people aren't out on the streets, if you set a time and a place, I'll be there with you. I'll bring the banners.
Don't put this on me, madam. But you're right. And quite a few people are telling me that if there were any announcements made about plans to do this to Scottish Water, then there would actually be protests on the street. I don't know. I mean, you know, it's a counterfactual. It's impossible to prove. But I do know what a statutory corporation is. Right, a statutory corporation is a corporate body controlled by and normally created by statute. So it typically has, I'm just getting this from Wikipedia, you'll understand why in a minute, it typically has no shareholders, I'll say that again, it typically has no shareholders, and its powers are defined by the Act of Parliament which creates it, so it can be modified by later legislation. And Scottish Water is a statutory corporation, providing water and sewage across Scotland, accountable to the public through the Scottish Government. No shareholders. I hope this doesn't sound like a stupid question if you're listening in Scotland. How did you get away with that? How did Scotland end up in such an obviously and measurably better position than the rest of the United Kingdom? I genuinely don't know. I don't even think that I should. Some days I realise there are flaws and holes in my knowledge. Some days I think nobody knows everything. I was once told that the last man to read every book that had ever been published was St. Augustine of Hippo, because this was in the days when books were reproduced by hand, by monks. Hardly anyone could read or write. So it was quite easy to have read every book that had ever been written when you were Augustine of Hippo. But these days, nobody can know everything. How come Scotland's ended up in such a different situation? I'd love to know. Just give me a quick lesson. I only want one call on that. But I really, really want it. 10:45 is the time. Thank you, Liz.
This is LBC.
Oh, no.
In the time it takes to unsend a risky text, you could find out if you're one of the Jaguar or Land Rover owners that's owed compensation. Visit claimsforcars.com. Answer a few easy questions and you'll find out in seconds. If your car has a faulty DPF filter, you could have a claim. Claims for Cars is helping people get back thousands on a no-win, no-fee basis.
Phew.
Get the answer in seconds at claimsforcars.com.
It's your home, darling. Let's make it fabulous. High scoring isn't my forte, but there's no arguing with Trustpilot ratings. Shutterly Fabulous have an expert team of fitters who specialise in one thing, simply gorgeous window shutters. Made to measure, hand-finished and expertly installed. Make your home Shutterly Fabulous. So don't give up, darling. Book a free consultation with our expert shutter fitters today.
Tired of watching your uninvested cash do nothing? With the Bank of England base rate reducing investment platform, IG is doing something extraordinary. IG is offering a whopping 8.5% AER variable on all uninvested cash. Yes, 8.5%. Just open an account, transfer money in and make one investment before May 31st to unlock this incredible rate. Visit IG.com now to open an investment account today. Your capital is at risk. GIA, ISA and SIP accounts only. Boosted rate applies until 31st August 2025. Terms and conditions apply.
The Thames Link train is a place where you can have more me time. A chance to skip traffic and glide to wherever you need to be. With headspace to focus on more important matters. Like if that cloud is a starfish or sunflower. Fast journeys without the rush with great deals at thameslinkrailway.com. Terms apply.
Looking for a fun-filled day out this spring? The O2 has it all. Catch the latest blockbuster at Cineworld or challenge your friends with interactive football at Toker Social. Take on darts, mini golf and more at Boom Battle Bar. Get active with a game of paddle tennis, climb to new heights or take flight with an indoor skydive at iFly. Feeling hungry? Choose from over 30 bars and restaurants and discover flavours from around the world. Search Do More at the O2 to start planning your perfect day.
Find out if you can claim compensation for a missold PCP agreement or a faulty DPF filter. Just visit claimsforcars.com and you'll get the answer in seconds.
James O'Brien on LBC.
10:47, and I mean, things are different in Wales from England, but they're not the same as they are in Scotland. Suboptimal, but it is a not-for-profit company, Welsh Water. I'm more interested in how Scotland managed to dodge this particularly hideous bullet that we're examining today because of the news that Thames Water has been hit with the biggest fine. And, you know, is it just me, or is there a little bit of you that goes, yeah, whatever? Actually, no, you don't do that because you're not a teenager. But if you were, you'd go, yeah, whatever. Because if you've taken out billions and billions and billions and billions of pounds in profit, and I know ownership changes, and this is a bit simplistic, then you go, okay, yeah, we've been fined 122.7 million quid. That's an occupational hazard. That's the cost of lining our pockets on an industrial scale. I don't know. Nathan is in Goodmayes. Nathan, what made you pick up the phone?
I had a premonition about this call in today.
Did you?
I woke up and I saw the news that
it
aligned very nicely with the fact that British Gas had been ordered to take out, and I know British Gas, it's not quite a monopoly, but it's an oligopoly, which is very similar. There's price fixing, collusion sort of thing happens, and with British Gas, they've been ordered to take out meters that they illegally put in. So
that's correct, yeah.
I think it was
all the suppliers. It was in the news, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's right. Tell
me about your premonition before we continue with the conversation.
I don't know. I genuinely thought at maybe 10 past 10 this morning. I heard your voice talking about this. Sorry, yes. Not at 10 past 10. Before then,
10 past 9.
Well, yeah, that's right. Yeah, exactly. And I thought, if you're not talking about it, then who would be? So I thought
that's nice to know. I don't know what difference. Yeah. I'm just making sure that you haven't I don't think you have accidentally maligned British Gas. It's all energy companies.
No,
exactly. £70 million in compensation. Yeah. And you're right, it's relevant to the sense of the public being treated like absolute mugs by these massive utility companies. But take me back to how this happens, or perhaps more pertinently, why it doesn't engender, why you were confident that it wouldn't be necessarily a major talking point anywhere else. I don't know that that's fair necessarily. The timing worked for me with the announcement of the fine. But why doesn't it ring more bells, push more buttons, cause more rage?
Well, I feel it's unfortunate I say this as an English person, but I think, and I say English as opposed to Scottish, because in this country, I think there is somewhat of a willful impotence we have. This is the first thing when I go on a rant, I talk about British Gas, Thames Water, specifically Chris Weston, Alistair Cochrane. I even mention individuals. There are either people that they're...
Well, don't do that anymore, because you'll just worry me about... Because the people aren't here to offer up a right of a reply, and also I may not know who they are. So we're clear on what's happened to water companies. In the simplest terms, debt has increased enormously, and the people running the outfit have walked away with huge amounts of money. So in any other circumstances, if I explained that to a member of the public, they'd be absolutely livid. But the water companies have been doing it for decades. How come? What's the failure of the public? How do you account for that?
Well, this is the thing. I tell people, there must have been about 50 people I've told about this. The more patient of them say, oh, it's just greed, there's nothing you can do about that, there'll always be greed. The thing is, that's true, but we're not just talking about greed, we're talking about breaking the law. Polluting public fresh water is a crime, as is installing meters illegally in disabled and vulnerable people's houses. These are not just amorphous moral things. They are literal crimes. So when people hear that, it's a very clean, clear-cut thing when you start talking about crime, because then you can't be done for slander. If you just say, these people are immoral.
You are, yes, okay. No, I just need to clarify that the 8 companies that have been hit with the fines today with regard to the meters are Scottish Power, EDF, E.ON, Octopus, Utility Warehouse, Good Energy, True Energy and Ecotricity. So that's why I'm steering you away from specifics. Let's talk about the amorphous blob of public opinion. I love your use of the word patient, but I also like your phrase willful impotence, because you're describing people who don't think that their anger would make any difference anyway, so why bother expending the energy? You, however, expend a lot of energy on being angry about these things.
I think it's a quirk of England, because in France, people literally would be burning cars in the street.
Yes,
and I've got
right.
friends in Scotland who said, maybe not Edinburgh, a bit more genteel, but in Glasgow, people would be burning cars in the street. There's some fire we lack. And I think it's because people don't have the details. When you actually go into details, people get more angry because they can relate it to their own lives.
And if their bills haven't gone up, there's a few planets aligning now, isn't there? So there's an epic failure of media. I mean, goodness knows how many people in my industry seem to be dedicated solely to protecting the interests of the super rich. I mean, it's absolutely extraordinary when you dig into it, and you've probably got names springing to mind as I speak. But the that's one planet. The other planet is the bills. If the bills are staying low because they are not, you know, they're taking all the money for themselves, they're not. You get a period of grace, don't you, before the sewage starts leaking into the rivers or before things start getting bad. So the public are going to respond to the pennies in their pocket, the pounds in their pocket, and then you've got the what you describe, which is, I suppose, loosely understood as lethargy, just a sort of sense of this not being the business of you and me, whereas, as you suggest, for French people, the relationship between citizen and state seems to be tighter somehow, seems to be stronger.
I think this goes back to feudalism. A lot of the people, we all, myself included, feel a little bit like serfs in feudalism. Because it's a monarchy, I'm not having a go specifically at things, because we believe intrinsically we're in a hierarchy where if you're not at the top, there's nothing you can do. It's a culturally embedded thing.
And some people, of course, welcome it. The culture of doff cap, tug forelock explains so much that's wrong in this country.
My responsibility.
And we fetishise money. So the people who, as takes us back to an earlier caller, the people who are really, really rich must be somehow brilliant and must deserve it and must be better than us.
Yes. Sorry, incidentally, you asked about why I'm so angry. It's the other people I talk about it tell me I'm jealous. My 18-year-old
politics
nephew,
of envy. Politics of envy.
Yeah. My 18-year-old nephew, who hasn't got a penny to his name, he told me, you're jealous. You would do it if you could. It's like, well, one, I probably couldn't, and two, I don't think I would, because...
One would hope that the concept of enough would kick in at some point, and well, I don't need more. But that's why I mentioned earlier, the opportunity to avail yourself of these kind of schemes is going to be attractive to an awful lot of people. But that's all the more reason to regulate. You know, that's all the more reason to put limits on human behaviour. If you're going to argue human nature is such that people will enrich themselves at the expense of the cleanliness of our waterways and the cost of our water bills, then you've got to make sure the people running the water companies have fairly strict limits on what they are and are not allowed to do, which makes today's fine, although it's the biggest in history, look a little bit paltry in the great scheme of things. Nathan, thank you. Let's go to Scotland. Neil's in West Lothian. Neil, what would you like to say?
Hi, James. I was just listening to your point about the difference in Scotland. I think there are differences, but I would suggest that they're probably not as great as you might think.
No, I thought you might say that. Carry on. Fill your boots, Neil.
I think the first obvious one is geography. Okay, we've got a bigger area with less people. So, you know, just in terms of infrastructure, we're not going to need as much to deal with the issue. I think the politics is relevant as well. We were much more averse to the whole privatisation thing around about 2000, so it just didn't happen. But then the problem...
Why? Just pause, because Nathan opened up some interesting historical cultural angles there, didn't he? Why would the reaction of the average Scot be different to the reaction of the average English person when they're offered a choice, for example, on whether or not utilities get privatised?
I just don't think it's ever been a thing that fits in with the Scottish psyche. I mean, we have always been more to the left. Scotland was always a vote in Labour, hasn't voted Conservative since the 1950s. Yeah. And I think the whole attitude is that the public sector can do it better and at less cost, and it's not about lining the pockets of shareholders. So I think all of that stuff resonates. And certainly, I worked in the Scottish Government in 2000 with the decision makers that were looking at this.
Okay.
And I remember being in meetings with special advisors and others, and they were just petrified that if this happened in Scotland, that they would lose support. This whole privatisation thing, it hadn't worked for the Tory privatisations in the 1980s. Mm. And given that the Parliament was new and it was trying to find its feet, it just felt, if this was the first thing that we did, it would just work against us. So for the politics and the geography, those are two reasons
and the morality, I think. Perhaps.
Well, yeah.
It's ours.
Yeah,
I mean, why are you carving it up and handing it over?
Yeah. But that brings us then to the problems, right?
Yes.
When it was privatised in England, a monitoring regime was introduced, which meant that every single one of your sewage outflows was monitored.
Yeah.
Less than 10% of the outflows in Scotland are monitored. There was a report by Environmental Standards Scotland published last year, the year before, which pointed towards some of our sewage outflows are flowing in more than 500 times a year.
Yes.
So there are issues and there are problems, but we're not monitoring and we're not picking it up. And there's an issue there. And then you're right to say that there's not as much money swilling around because we don't have shareholders to service. But then we set up a water industry commissioner to regulate this. And go and look into the history of that, where the guy had to leave office because of issues with expenses and sending people on courses that cost tens of thousands of pounds. And, you know, the same problems with...
Just a different flavour. I mean, if I was given the choice between two companies that were being run identically, but one of them wasn't siphoning billions and billions and billions pounds off to shareholders, I'd choose the one that wasn't. I mean, it just feels preferable. But you're right; it doesn't necessarily guarantee massively different.
No, and the problem is the same at the end of the day. In England, there's not enough investment from the private sector. In Scotland, there's not enough investment from the public sector. So both systems are struggling.
People want more for less. They want more and more from the state, and they want to pay less and less for it. There's a hard rain coming, isn't there? If these political movements that promise to cut taxes and cut public spending continue to gather momentum,
we're not in a good place to fix any of this just now, I'm afraid. So I think there's just going to be more of the same. And on that happy note.
I bid you farewell. Thank you, Neil, bringing it in bang on time. He's better than me. This is nice from Pat in Perth. They write, let me explain this to you, James, in an analogy that will make sense. Are you suggesting that my cog-based analogy did not make sense? How dare you? It was brilliant. Very few people are cognizant of just how good it was. Ever been for a meal that you didn't like and the waitress or waiter comes over and says, is everything all right? And you, being British, say, yes, absolutely fine. This is why the British public adopts the attitude it adopts when it comes to anger about public services. It's not. We're an incredibly angry nation now. You know, you don't see the online rage about things that haven't happened is off the absolute charts. But rage about things that have happened and things that have been done to us, perhaps by design, remains minimal.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 11 o'clock, Britain's most senior...